Okay, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. So if you'd like to have your Bibles open. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the streets are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint, when people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire no longer is stirred, then people go to their eternal home, and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed, and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. And here with perhaps some more helpfulness, I think, at times, is the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes in the New Living Translation. Don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honour him in your youth before you grow old and say, life is not pleasant anymore. Remember him before the light of the sun, moon and stars is dim to your old eyes, and rain clouds continually darken your sky. Remember him before your legs, the guards of your house, start to tremble, and before your shoulders, the strong men stoop. Remember him before your teeth, your few remaining servants stop grinding, and before your eyes, the women looking through the windows see dimly. Remember him before the door to life's opportunities is closed, and the sound of work fades. Now you rise at the first chirping of the birds, but then all their sounds will grow faint. Remember him before you become fearful of falling and worry about danger in the streets, before your hair turns white like an almond tree in bloom, and you drag along without energy like a dying grasshopper, and the caperberry no longer inspires sexual desire. Remember him before you near the grave, your everlasting home, when the mourners will weep at your funeral. Yes, remember your Creator now while you are young, before the silver cord of life snaps and the golden bowl is broken. Don't wait until the water jar is smashed at the spring and the pulley is broken at the well, for then the dust will return to the earth and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Last week I introduced the final chapter of this book of Ecclesiastes. I built on what I'd said the week before, and I want to build something else this week if I can. The teacher Koheleth is concluding things, you can see that, and he is doing it by addressing the young. And there can be no doubt there are those who may feel that they're as young as they always were, but they're in fact not young. This is quite clear. It's addressed to the young. But that doesn't mean to say that all of us can't learn something very profound and important to us. I suggested last week that the emphasis at the beginning should be what it really is. It's remember your Creator. It doesn't say remember your God. It says remember your Creator. And I made very much of this idea, this thought, that we should be proud. We should be willing to stand up, chin up, so to speak, and acknowledge that God is our Creator. There's no need for any church, there's no need for any professing Christian to sheepishly and furtively declare their belief in the Creator. They can do it with pride, and they can do it and stand up tall and do so. There's no need to hide in a corner and speak in hushed tones about believing that God is the Creator. Science can't declare there is no Creator from evidence. It simply can't be done. And I think still today, there are many people running afraid of science. How wonderful it would be if we could get the church today and everyone who's a professing Christian to stand up and be proud to say, I believe in God as the Creator. I made a telephone call to Leanne to ask her some information about something that she'd shown me on the internet years ago, and it just so happened that it had just been shown to the YPs, I think, this Friday night. This is something that you can all access because you're all computer literate. I'm not. So you can go to the computer and you can go on something called YouTube and you can watch an interview which a man called Ray Comfort does with countless different scientists at major universities across the United States. And there he interviews biologists, professors of biochemistry, physicists, anthropologists, and so on and so on and so on. He interviews students who are majors in science, and it is terribly embarrassing. It's dreadfully embarrassing to see the inability of the very top people to actually convince any of us of their view of origins. It looks for all the world that science has it nailed. And Christians so often, I'm afraid, are running scared. You don't need to be. Go on YouTube, put in Ray Comfort or whatever it is, 38 minutes. You'll be able to find this piece. Watch it with astonishment that some of the top students and top professors in the United States of America seem to have very, very few answers to the most basic questions which he puts to them regarding origins. The Christian faith is about faith, and it is about faith, first of all, in the Creator. And I say to every young person this morning, chin up. God is as much the Creator today in this so-called advanced age that we live in as he has ever been. And I quote from Ecclesiastes. Koheleth says, God created mankind upright. He establishes it. So I want you to get it established. God created mankind. In chapter 11 he says, God is the maker of all things. We're in a personal, not an impersonal universe. Would you like me to help you even further? I'll do it. Do you want a name for the Creator? I'll give you his name. I'll make it as personal as I possibly can. Do you want the name of the Creator of the universe, the Creator of all things? His name is Jesus, because you read it in Colossians chapter 1. He is the Creator of all things. For in him all things were created. Not some things, all things. In heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. If you want to know the Creator, it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the Apostle John. John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Nothing was made that has been made. I'm saying to the young people, go past the older generation if you want to. In this regard, disrespect them if you like. I want you to believe in the Creator. It matters everything to me. It's the starting place. And this is what Koheleth wants. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. I'd like to say to everyone who has become a Christian, Whether you like it or not, you're a creationist. Well, you've got to be, because the Lord Jesus is the creator of all things. You've come to believe in the creator. You've come to put your faith and your hope in the Savior, who is the creator of all things. You're a creationist. Hold your head up high. Chin up and say so. And I want the young people to know how important this is. Isn't this a Savior worth believing in? Isn't this someone to be proud of? Isn't this someone to stand up for? To stand up for the name of the Lord Jesus, who is your creator. But I add this, which comes out so beautifully in the New Living Translation. Don't let excitement of youth cause you to forget your creator. And then it says, honor him in your youth. Now, we often speak positively, don't we, about a man or a woman in business, and we'll say this about them. She does honour to her profession. We say this of someone. She does honour to her profession. All right, you have a profession of the Christian faith. Then do honour to your profession. Do honour to your Creator this morning. And what is it to honour? Surely it is to have the highest respect. It's the recognition, surely, of God's glory, to credit him with his reputation and his nobility. Do honour to God in your youthfulness, to remember your Creator. What a wonderful thing in our secular age. And I'll tell you this, young people, listen up. If you're to do this, to honour your Creator in the days of your youth, in this secular age, you'll stand out. You'll stand out. You won't be going with the flow. You won't be just doing what everybody else does because you have to. Because you've got to, as it were, doff your cap to the scientific community that tells you that there is no creator. Friends, everyone, young and old alike, everyone, what does the scripture say? Remember your creator in the days of your youth. What a wonderful passage. Now what I'd like to do is I'd like to make a connection this morning between the first part of the verse, 12 verse 1, and then I'd like to make a connection with the second part. Remember your creator, you look at it for yourselves in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Now, you don't need me to show you what the sense is of that section that I've just read. Days, and then it becomes years. You can see it there. Days of this and days of that, but then that becomes years. You can see it, and that's what I'm going to draw out for you this morning. Notice, first of all, how predictive Kohelet's words are. Notice the certainty of them. Before the days of trouble come. In other words, they're coming. It's absolutely certain. There is no ambiguity about this. The days are coming. Just as the days will come when you will say, when you're going to say, I find no pleasure in them. It's predictive, but it's absolutely certain. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come. And the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure. These are certainties. Days of trouble, friends, are on their way. Now, it might be in the interests of a secular society to say to you, oh, there's no trouble ahead. There's nothing for you to be bothered about. Everything's just going to go on as it always has done. Ah, but you see, this is the Word of God. The Word of God is prepared to be honest with you and tell you the truth. And it's like this. The days of trouble are coming in this sense. Old age is coming. Old age must come. And they can be, of course, those days, the best of times in many ways. But as far as Kohelet's concerned, they can be the worst of times. Do you know what happens in these days of trouble? We can't mend our ways. We can't change. We struggle to change. we struggle to alter. When we get older, we lose our appetite for change. The trouble includes a fixed mindset. And you'll find that about older people. They get a fixed mindset. The old can't easily take a new direction. They're so fixed in their ways. They can't break a lifetime of habits. They can't do it. Why do you think Koheleth says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth? Because now, at this point, at this time, right now, at your young age, you are able to do something that perhaps in 40 years' time, 50 years' time, you will not be able to do at all. When you ask the old to do this or that, they often, not always, but they often moan and complain a bit, perhaps a lot. And they say something like this, oh, you can't expect an old person like me to be able to do this or that. That's what I say when people come to me and say, you can learn the computer. You can learn how to use a computer. And I say, oh, I can't do it. It's beyond me. Anyway, I'm still trying to learn how to paint. I'm struggling to do that. I haven't got the time for the computer. But that's what older people are like. Of course they are. And trouble, you see, comes in all shapes and sizes when we get older. We don't readapt easily, do we? Of course not. We fall unexpectedly. And it's an amazing thing that. When a young person falls, you watch a young person fall. And then watch an older person fall. And I can speak from experience because this week I've had a really, really nasty fall with a dreadful bruise on my leg. You fall differently when you're older. There's no doubt about it. We suffer from memory loss as we get older. But there are some of the young people who I've met here who are already struggling with things like that. We are more vulnerable as we get older. These are the days of trouble. We are more vulnerable. You may think that you're vulnerable as you're young, but there's going to be days of trouble ahead when we are more vulnerable. The things which we just brushed aside when we were young, today in older age, cause people days and days and days of trouble. It's the picture of a decaying life. And this is just the truth of it. I'm not trying to frighten you, but it's just the truth. We're subject to disease in a particular way as we get older. Just take something like the flu and how the flu wipes out a young person, and it does in a major way. Then it's not difficult to see how when an older person gets it, they can easily die from it. The days of trouble are trouble, all right. And the Bible wants us to be aware of them. There's something else to be said about days of trouble. The days for older people can be long. And they can be lonely. They may be physically painful and mentally and also emotionally painful. And what I'm saying is that nothing can save us from it. I can't miss saying this. It's important. Heart disease comes, cancer comes, diabetes comes, stroke comes. None of these things can ultimately be prevented. You can take all the tablets and have all the best healthcare in the world that you like. And the trouble is that we don't want to often face up to these things. We can't accept them. But they're coming. The days of trouble are coming. And it would only be somebody who was an absolute fool who would deny it and do as if it was never going to happen. Remember your Creator before the days of trouble come. Because once you're in the midst of that trouble, it may be difficult to remember Him and find Him at all. If you look at the text, it says, before the days of trouble come, and then it says, and the years approach. So it goes from days to years. The truth is that in older life, the years are much bigger than the days of youth. The days of youth were just that. We remember them. They were just days, here today and gone tomorrow. But old age, as it were, Koheleth says, is not about days, but it's about years. And often, not always, but often, those are years which are lived for many people in the deepest unhappiness and sadness of life. Honour him in your youth before you grow old and say, life is not pleasant anymore. For millions of people in older age, life is not pleasant anymore. And someone might say this morning, oh, that will never come to me. What, are you a prophet? Are you extraordinary? Who are you? Are you special? Is there something about you that's unique? Surely you'd be humble enough this morning to say, this is possible for me. When we consult youthfulness and when we analyze it, we have to say again, it is gone in a moment. It is just a flash. But the days of trouble may last for years. And if I didn't tell it like this, I wouldn't be giving the emphasis that the scripture gives. And it is at this point, of course it is at this point, where I believe, and I'm going to be predictive now, if you don't agree with me, you can say, right, I don't agree with any of that. This bit is where I become predictive. This is where I honestly believe that in the years to come, we will, in our secular society, will develop an appetite for euthanasia. I'm absolutely convinced of it. People in pain, in suffering, mentally and physically, for years and years, will eventually be offered a way out. And the modern democracies will not be able to prevent the clamour for it. Hey, listen to this. You know, one of the big arguments that will be presented for it will be the economics of it. It will be about money. Of course it will. And there are people who are sat here this morning who will say, oh, this will never be. I remember when people said about the gay revolution, 30, 40, it will never be. You're wrong. This is the development of a fallen society. And I think that the clamour for it will be overwhelming in the modern democracies. Economics will be the strength behind it, I'm sure of it. And since secularism has no place for God, which it doesn't, in every way, the most rational and obvious conclusion will be to bring in euthanasia. It's already in Belgium. It's already to some extent in Switzerland. It will grow. It will be worldwide, just as the other things that have developed over the last years. Years, Koheleth says. Years of... I find no pleasure in them. Years. You think of those who suffer physically, those who suffer mentally, and the huge and enormous cost to modern societies. And I've heard it said, and this is very relevant to the young people, why should the young people have to pay such high taxes to look after so many old people? And in a growing society which cares nothing for people with regard to their everlasting souls, no belief in God, no trust in God, no hope in God whatsoever, you're just a bunch of chemicals. There is no creator. Why wouldn't a society conclude that euthanasia would have the answer in our times? Well, I speak a bit like this because I remember in the 1970s hearing Dr. Francis Schaeffer speak and how predictive he was of what would happen. And people, I think they somewhat laughed at what he said. Practically all of what he predicted would happen has today come true. And so we should think very carefully this morning about these words. Before the days of trouble come and the years approach, when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. And one last word, that anything that develops like this in the future, your children will see it. It will be your children who are a part of such a society. And therefore it is extremely important that I preach in the way that I do this morning. If we have not remembered our Creator in the days of our youth, if God has been neglected, then it is possible, even likely, that years will come upon us with very little joy, and despair might be, as one version puts it, all that is left. I've got this to tell you, just by way of illustration. I have been enriched in my life hugely by very much the people who I have met in my life. And some of the people I have met have been extraordinary. They have been old people. And they are some of the people who have made the most lasting mark upon my life. I've seen old people extremely beautiful in character. These were old people who had no possessions. They didn't even own a house. They just rented a little flat. They had no possessions. They only had a bit of a state pension. They had virtually nothing that you and I would call possessions in our terms today. And they were people without owning home or car or anything. They were amazing people. They were people with ailments and troubles in life. And yet they loved every day. They loved every day as the Lord's day. They had all of their physical infirmities. They weren't Stoics, but actually what they were men and women who had found their hope and their peace in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was their saviour, and he never left them, and he never forsook them, and they knew it. And they were a blinding light in the latter days of their lives. And you know what? I never saw an ounce of despair, not once, in any one of them. They walked joyfully with him. And so I say, before distressing days come, before sad days come, before years come, when the days of our youth are ended, we need to be able to say this morning that we will be willing to entirely alter the course of our lives, because the days and the years are coming when we may not be able to, and we may not be able to walk in the footsteps of these people who I've just mentioned. What a privilege it has been of mine to witness those old believers, those old Christians, who so shone so brightly and lit up the glorious message of the Christian gospel by their lives. And I ask all the older people then, in this regard, think about what I am saying with regard to these things. Light up the Christian life by your life and by your example, for the sake, especially, of those who are young around us, who I'm particularly addressing this morning. Now, if I can, as it were, bring you on to the second verse. It says, I find no pleasure in them before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and so on. Now, I think that Koheleth is a master of language. I've said that before. And you'll notice that at the beginning of this passage, namely verse 1, and at the end of verse 7, so 1 and 7, this master of language, verse 1 and verse 7, you would say that there is no metaphor used. It's just straight speaking language. But between 1 and 7, it's all metaphor. It's supreme. It's painting pictures that are very vivid to try to get through to us. So what I want to look at just for the remainder of the message, and for you to think about, is what is meant by these pictures. Koheleth says to the young, get things right with your Creator before the certainty of old age comes and the days and the years of distress come upon you. And then he says, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. So what is he now doing? What is he driving at? What's his point? Well, I think he's probably alluding, in part, not entirely, but I think he's alluding in part to the loss of sight. All our lives we are blessed with eyesight, and we cannot imagine, except if we just close our eyes for a moment and we sit in the darkness, of what it would be like to lose our eyesight. It surely must be one of the most precious things. Can anything be more wonderful than to be able to see? And Paul, you remember when I read to you a few weeks ago from the book of Romans, he said this, the whole of creation is there for us to see. It gives possibility for people to believe that there is a God because they can actually see. And if we don't believe in God, it's because of the hardness of our heart. And then Paul says, we're without excuse because we can see. If there is anyone here this morning who doesn't believe in God, you're without excuse. You've got good eyesight. You can see. And then he says, Koheleth, the sun and the moon and the stars, they're there. But one day, they grow dim. One day, they grow dim. That means that the days are darkened. I don't know whether we were once in Germany, I remember it. And we witnessed the eclipse of the sun. And I remember this extraordinary experience of the light just being gone. It was extraordinary. And we find it hard to understand what it must be like for someone as the light actually begins to go from their eyesight. This is the curtain, friends, coming down on life. It's the beginning of the end. This is winter that sets in. This is the decay of the human being. Age with loss of sight. What does that mean? Can't see a loved one anymore, clearly. I used to be able to see my lovely wife, but I can't see her now. It's not clearly. I can't see my husband, I can't see my children or my grandchildren. I can't see a friend. I don't know the details of it, but that great theologian, Dr. J.I. Packer, apparently has gone blind. And one wonders what that must be like. Someone's put it like this. This passage is about us being unmade. We are being unmade. When we were woven together in our mother's wombs, as the psalmist puts it, we were fresh off the loom, beautiful in our first days of life. It's not that we can't be beautiful in old age, of course we can, but the truth is that we're breaking down. And then Koheleth says that the clouds return after the rain, because you see, when you're young and the clouds appear, it's just the nature of being young. You can get the clouds to disappear and move on through life. And when there are problems that arise, you can get rid of them and move through them and move to something else. But in older age, Koheleth says, the clouds just keep coming back and keep coming back. And perhaps he's speaking of emotional and psychological desolations that the old feel. We'll never know until we are old what those desolations are like. I repeat, it's the onset of winter. It's the truth of the chill of winter air that for this person is somehow now permanent. It's a somber picture. I realise that. I can't change it. It would be wrong for me to try to put another slant on it and make you all feel better about it. because Koheleth is trying to make you face up to reality. He's trying to get us to admit to what really is. Can you brighten this passage? I don't think so. I don't think it's my job to try to brighten it. It's my job to try to lay it before you and for you to think very, very carefully about what's happening to your life as it is now, whether young or old. You know that Koheleth has been going on about life under the sun, don't you? Of course you do. He means a life that's only this life, this secular life, nothing else. You know what I mean? I'll do it for you. Eat, drink, get up, go to work, eat, drink, go to bed, get up, eat, drink, go to work, go to school, eat, drink, go to bed, get up, eat, drink, go to work, get up, eat, drink, save a bit of money, go on holiday, eat, drink. This meaningless existence, that's what Koheleth says. Listen, now listen carefully. Listen. That ends like this. That ends like this. 80 years, eat, drink, go to bed, work, eat, drink, go to bed, work, have a bit of holiday, eat, drink. That ends like this. Oh, Koheleth says, what a meaningless existence is all of this. How utterly, utterly meaningless. This, you know, is the greatest tool to speak of the wonderful good news of the gospel. Because you see, God has a bigger and a better plan than 80 years. He's got a long-term plan, not a short-term plan. Not 70 years or 65 years or 85 years. He's got a long-term, beautiful plan. And it introduces eternity to us, where he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. That's his plan. That's his purpose. And this morning, my persuasion of you is like this, that there is a God-shaped blank in every one of us. Our souls are restless until they find their rest in him. And under the sun won't do it. It won't provide us with the rest that we need. But what will do it will be if we come and we place our faith in God, the Creator, in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we don't do that, we'll have a short life of darkness. Listen to me now, these are my final words. We'll have a short life of darkness, and we'll have an eternity of darkness. It's easy, you can do the maths, as they say. You can work it out. I ask you to work it out for yourself. Days of opportunity and youthfulness, make the most of them. Because years are coming and they're years of trouble. But they're nothing like the years of trouble which faces us on the other side of death, when we must meet our Maker and our Creator. Do you know on that day there'll be no unbelievers? There'll be nobody who doesn't believe in the Creator on that day. Everyone will want to believe in the Creator, but it will be too late. And the days of eternal darkness have begun. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. It's about days and years, so this is my final word. This is the day of opportunity. Young people, this is the day of opportunity. Today is the day. Today is the day when you can come and you can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not just for the young people. It's for each and every one of you. you can come. But of course you'd have to humble yourself. And you'd have to come with your sin, and you'd have to come just as you are. And you'd have to come in repentance, and you'd have to come in faith. And you'd have to come, listen now, this is believing in God. Believing in God, it's got nothing to do with it. You've now got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he alone is the Saviour. And he's the only one who can give you that new life which takes you on in this life with light and with joy, facing the troubles and the problems, and takes you on into eternity. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. If you've got some youthfulness left in you and you look like me, there looks to be a few of you like that, just one or two, remember him. Remember him today and believe in him. Put all of your trust in him. Come to him. And he'll receive you just as you are. And you'll know him as your Saviour. Well, may God bless these words to our hearts this morning. Amen. Amen.